This is the Head Torch podcast. Welcome. Our mission, to create a mentally healthy culture at work. Keeping the conversations alive, our podcasts bring you great presenters and stimulating discussion on mental health and well-being in the workplace. Enjoy. I'm Amy McDonald.
I'm Angus Robinson.
Delighted to be with you today. We also have Nick Lander working in the back. Of course, we have our fabulous guest speaker today, Paul Douglas, who I'll introduce more formally shortly. Here at Head Torch, we aim to help businesses create a mentally healthy culture. We work with all levels of an organisation, the senior team, management and frontline people, and everyone in between. So we work with public, private sector, large, small organisations. It doesn't matter. Mental health is important and crucial to every single one of us. So really welcome to this first Thursday Wellbeing Hour. Our special guest today is the fabulous Paul Douglas, who is VP of Volvo Rigid Haulers, and MD of Terex Trucks. So welcome, Paul. Really great to have you here with us today. Paul used to be the group head of engineering at Alexander Dennis for a short time, and before that he had various senior management roles at Komatsu. And he has also in the past owned and run a pub, and he used to be a DJ, so who knows, we might get a few decks being scratched or whatever it is you do there, Paul, later on. That would be lovely. And so really delighted that Paul can be here with us today. We first met when he came along to not one but two events that we were taking through Scottish Engineering some time, and since then we've developed a really strong relationship with Volvo out there at Motherwell. So shortly, Paul will introduce himself and give us a presentation just to give you all an idea of the format of today's event. We will hear from Paul, and then at a roughly 25 past 12, we'll all go into breakout rooms and have a discussion based on a question or two that Paul is going to pose to us at the end of his presentation. We'll have roughly 15 minutes-ish in our breakout rooms, and then we'll all come back together at about 20 to 1, and then we'll have an open discussion together to share thoughts from those breakout spaces. And of course, you'll have the opportunity to ask Paul any questions that you may have. So for just now, it gives me great pleasure to hand over to Paul, who's going to introduce to himself using some sort of object that he's brought along today. We've no idea what it is. And then he will go into his presentation. So if you wouldn't mind, folks, if you could, just for the purposes during the presentation, if you could switch your cameras off, that would be fantastic. And I'll just hand over to Paul.
Thank you, Amy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good stuff. Well, welcome everyone. And Amy and Angus lied to me and said, oh, there'll maybe be 15 or 20 people on it. So as Chief Brody said in Jaws, here comes the shark. Now we're going to need a bigger boat, I think, for this. So great to see you all. Thank you for joining us today. I'll try and keep the Scottish slang down. I see we've got a few English friends on, former colleagues as well, I recognise. And there. So welcome, and it's great to be here. A little bit about me before we start. Amy's already introduced what I do today, working here for Volvo Construction Equipment. We have two products, and I'll talk about that in a moment, and two brands at this site. Me personally, I'm in 54 years old, happily married to Faith, so she keeps telling me. And having a great time. We have two grown-up sons who have both moved out, so we're in that enjoying that period of our lives where we can get on with our own things now. We have two dogs. We're dog lovers, and we have two bulldogs. We like them. A little bit about my background. I started at this facility as a graduate engineer some 35 years ago. That was my very first job. I'm local, I'm from Motherwell originally, so I've kind of come full circle ending up back in here as the general manager and head of this business. Amy mentioned I did work in England in Komatsu down there, predominantly in engineering, did various roles at that business before coming back here to Scotland to work for a period for Alexander Dennis and then back here at the site in Motherwell with Volvo in the current role that I am just now. Hobbies, I am very busy work-wise, and you know, we do a lot of things. We like to take the dogs walking, we like to go and do a bit of sightseeing and getting around. A few years ago, to try and get fit and lose weight, I took up fogging, as I call it, fat man jogging, and it kind of helped a little bit. It certainly improved not just physical health, but also I think it improves mental health as well, and that's one of the key topics that we want to talk about. Okay, let's move on. And then Amy and Angus asked me to bring an object that says a little bit about me, and it also will talk a little bit about something we're going to touch on later. And I have to disappoint you. Here is the situation is I'm between houses at the moment. We have just sold and moved out of one of our property, and the new one isn't ready yet. So all of my things are in storage, including what I was going to show you today was a 12-inch red vinyl record by Hazel Dean called Searching. If you go and look it up, it was out in 1984. Why am I showing that as my object? Well, first and foremost, I love music. I love all kinds of music, from punk to classical and everything in between. And I used to be a DJ, as Amy mentioned in the opening. And the reason I chose this record to share with you, is it's the first record I ever played in my first official gig as a DJ. And I do still have the 12-inch red vinyl version of that song. But as I said, unfortunately, it's in storage, so I couldn't actually pop it out and show you today. So that's the reason I chose that. And music is a huge passion of mine. It is one of my hobbies. I love listening to music. I love going to see live bands. I always have done. It was one of the reasons I became a DJ. The place I first worked in was called Scripples. It was a nightclub in the local village called Bells Hill. It didn't last long. It's now a convenience store and two apartments. So it just tells you how good I was as a DJ. Okay, if we can have the first slide, please. Let's move on to the main body of the talk. Just a little bit about who we are. So we are Volvo Group. The cars are not part of Volvo Group. We share the same brand. And of course, at some point in the past, we were part of the same company, but cars are no longer. When you tell people you work for Volvo Group, they immediately think of the cars. So I just wanted to make that clear. What we are as Volvo Group is we provide transport solutions, and particularly in the business area I work in, construction and mining equipment. So in the image there, you can see on-highway trucks, which makes up about 61% of Volvo Group, and an example of the construction equipment. And the large yellow beast there is one of our rigid hauler trucks. And that's what we produce here in Motherwell. We design and manufacture those. The one in the image is the biggest one we do. It's a 100-ton product. Volvo Group, it's about a $41 billion US dollar company. Over 100,000 team members working around the world. We have factories in 18 countries and sales just about every country in the world, 190 plus countries. So it's a substantial size of a business globally. What I am responsible for is the factory here in Motherwell, which is known as Volvo Construction Equipment Haulers, VCE Haulers. We do two products here, two brands. We do the Volvo branded rigid framed haulers. You can see the example there, the yellow one. And if you're watching us in black and white, it's the one next to the white one. And then the one on the right is the Terex Trucks branded. We do a second wholly owned brand Terex Trucks articulated hauler as well. We do several sizes of that. So those are the two brands and the two platforms that we do out of this site here in Motherwell in Scotland. The business today is coming back from a low level. We are around just over £100 million in turnover, but we have been as high as £350 million in the last 4 or 5 years. And we're on a good trajectory to get back to those levels we've seen previously. Today we have about 340 team members, and that's growing. The order book is growing as we've come out of the pandemic and business is picking up, and we're adding resources to the team. So we've got about 340 colleagues in here. Just for your information, about 240 of those work in the shop floor, and about 100 or so work in the offices. I don't know what's happened. I'm seeing a different slide now. Are you controlling it still, Amy, or is it? Yeah, that's it. Okay. I'll just touch a little bit on the core values you can see in the last slide there. Customer success, trust, passion, among some of the core values, change and performance. That's across the whole of Volvo Group. And those are very, very important. And those are values that have been here at this site. This site's been here for over 70 years. And those are values that we've always treasured and respected very much in terms of customer success and very passionate about what we do. So if you go to the next slide, please. Amy? Okay, so congratulations. We now have to find a way through the pandemic. So what happened, if you cast your mind back, and I'm not going to give you the whole lecture about the pandemic and where it came from, but it was late December 2019 when we first heard about this. And then within literally a few weeks, couple of months, it was really taking off and the infections were spreading like wildfire around the world. Oh, people can't see the slide. Share it. By the end of March,
I'll just stop the share and share again. Sorry about that, folks.
The joys of technology, eh?
Don't worry, it happens in every company.
If you could switch your screen off from just now, that's lovely. Thanks, folks. Sorry, can you see it now?
Yeah, I got a message there. It's okay, I think.
Perfect.
Okay, so the pandemic hit us by the end of March last year. As we all know, the UK went into lockdown. And we were off on a journey that none of us had ever seen before. And in the comment there, there was no guidebook for this. There were no references that we could turn to. So, and many of you on the call, maybe all of you on the call, are managers or leaders of businesses or teams of people in public and private sector. So it's your leadership skills that came really under scrutiny and in a time of crisis and uncertainty. That's what has to come to the fore. And like us, in the theme of this today, if we have both hands-on manufacturing processes as well as office-based staff, then you have to split what's happening. The factory needs to continue to run, and we want to keep our office team members safe as well. So these were the challenges. But one of the key things that very early on myself, and this wasn't, you know, wasn't Paul Douglas that did all of this. We had a great team here that worked really hard together to find a way through this. And as I said, with no playbook to follow. But one of the things is, and early on, is understanding what you can influence. What is your sphere of influence? Because anything out of that, there's no point getting stressed about it, and there's no point in worrying about it. So if they're putting in lockdowns or travel bans, then you just have to figure a way to work around that or work with that and not lose sleep over it or get overly stressed about it. So that's a key takeaway as we go forward on this. You go to the next slide, please. I like to consider myself an educated man, but I didn't know what furlough was when it was first mentioned. And I guess a few, if we're honest, were in the same boat. And it wasn't just the only word that came out of this pandemic. It was the new normal, the unprecedented, fast-changing environment we all need to adjust to survive. But, you know, that last comment is an important one. That was necessary. It doesn't matter what you did and how you did it. You were going to have to adjust, whether you were in the retail sector, whether you were in manufacturing. Whatever it may have been, everyone was going to have to adjust to get through this. So it's a key point as we go forward, and we're going to talk about people in a moment. So if you go to the next slide, please. And what are we talking about here? It's trying to find the balance on how to look after your team when you have team members that are working at work, W-A-W, and you've got team members that now have to work from home. So working at work, as I said, some of my fantastic colleagues really put a huge amount of effort in to make sure that we had hygiene protocols, physical distancing in place, new ways of working, one-way systems, and I'm sure many of you on this call have had to do the same thing. In the image there, that's a welder. Oh, it's a health worker, but that's what some of our team members ended up having to do. You go from wearing regular PPE to having to wear things that generally make you very uncomfortable. And if you're having to do what is normally a hard job in the factory anyway, but now you have to do it with face masks on and visors, it makes it even more challenging. And it wasn't just our factory-based workers that had to get back to working at work. We also support the customer in the field. So we have sales team members, we have service team members, and they also had to continue to go to work, even though their work environment was different. Then on the other side, you had the working from home. So the instruction was clear from the governments. I say clear in inverted commas. I think there was some confusion between UK Gov, Scottish Gov, and the four nations kind of trying to send out slightly different messaging. But anyway, it was clear that a lot of our team members were now going to have to work from home. And that brings with it its own challenges. There are mental health challenges. And as the pandemic continued and continued and continued, it became even more obvious that people were starting to struggle. And there are physical health challenges. And as the cartoon says there, you know, a lot of us haven't been very active for almost 15 months now since this damn pandemic kicked off. And then you get things like my personal circumstances. When I put a decent pair of shoes on, when I try to put a dress for work again, they feel very strange. I don't know if I've developed slipper or flip-flop feet, but that's what it certainly feels like. So you've got this situation where my team, two-thirds, are having to come to work in a completely new environment and way of doing things, and about a third of them are now having to work from home. And that is going to be challenging of itself. So if we go to the next slide, please, Emma. So we had to hunker down and focus on what's important. And for many years of my career, I've always tried to put things into these three very important categories, which is people, product, and process. Now, I could spend an hour talking on each one of these three quadrants. We're not going to talk about the product and the process today. Of course, we still wanted to produce product. We had customers out there that were producing raw materials and minerals that, and building things that were necessary even to support society through the pandemic. So getting the product and services continued and ongoing was important. And the processes, we had to change the way we do things, as mentioned in the previous slide. So we had to figure out ways of doing it safely. One of my colleagues is on here, Carnan Duffy. Carnan, along with other health and safety colleagues, done a fantastic job of basically transforming our factory and the way things flow through here. And it was a great job. But then we also had problems out with our control. The supply chain went into lockdown. The logistics companies, transport bringing material in, transport taking finished goods away. They were losing drivers because of self-isolating. We were losing team members because of self-isolating. It became a whole strange thing to manage. But as I said, on another day, we can talk a lot about that. What I want to focus on is people and what we needed to think about. And when we come to my question in a few moments, it'll be in that area of, you know, what issues did you have with your people? All of these, of course, if the people, the product, the processes aren't ticking properly, then your performance will go down. We want to see that quadrant of performance popping, going green and getting bigger. But actually, the performance goes down as all of these things affect your business. But the main point about the people, they are your greatest asset. And I've always thought that of teams that I've worked with. And then the pandemic, the team are faced with unprecedented challenges. And what we want to think about here is how they were feeling as we go forward. So if you go to the next slide, please, Amy. And these are just some of the things that our team told us. You know, we wanted to look after them. We wanted to make them feel safe. But we still wanted to achieve the outputs that our customers expected. But our team were worried. They were anxious. They were concerned. They were afraid they may catch the coronavirus. And remember, in the early days, no one knew just how serious it was if you caught it. And then we learned that it could be very deadly serious. And then, especially for the team members who were now working from home or on furlough, as we did put a lot of our team members on furlough for a period at the beginning, they felt disconnected. So these are things that play on very much on people's mental health. The anxiety thing is something. And I want to dwell on that. And when I finish talking in a few moments, the mental health element is something that I'm glad we had started on our journey of focus on mental health before the pandemic arrived, because I think we would be in the worst shape if we hadn't done that. Okay, so just talking a little bit about the people, and we have done lots of things, but you know what I want to say is that there are many things I can say in terms of issues around the people, things we learned, things we could improve, but there are three things I want to touch on. in the next few minutes. One of them is communication. We always say as managers, communication is very important. But in this pandemic, it was absolutely vital. And I thought I knew quite a bit about communication. And then I learned I still had a hell of a lot to learn about it. And I'll touch on some of those things and some of the tools and techniques that we used to try to improve where we were. I wouldn't want to touch a little bit on attitude with the team, which was a surprising one, and that's why I put it in there. And then I'll finish on mental health. So in terms of communication, there's no such thing as too much communication. And the team figured out good ways of getting in touch. So 340 team members, we managed to get everyone's mobile phone number. We managed to get everyone's email address, not just those that had a work email. Not everyone has a work email address. We got their personal email addresses. We created a Facebook group, and about 2/3 of our team joined that, because not everyone is savvy on social media and smartphones and smart devices. The functional leaders, managers within the business set up smaller WhatsApp groups. We would then develop things like monthly status updates, and that turned into weekly status updates and communications that we could share. And again, because some of our team members weren't so savvy or used to using electronic devices, we reverted back to posting some of these by mail using the old snail mail, as well as emails, as well as Facebook updates. So it was almost blitzing everything we could in terms of all of these areas. And of course, what we're on today, Teams. We were on Skype, we went to Teams, we've used Zoom, we've used webinars, we've used all sorts of forums to get the communication working so that we could get the messages out to our team. But then what we learned was that that message was not always understood. Even though we had done it in 3 or 4 different ways, we'd read it back to ourselves many times. We thought the message was very clear, but we learned that you need to sample the messaging with your team to understand at all levels in the business that it's being understood. And that not everyone gets the message. We emailed it, we sent a text message, we put it on Facebook, and then we still had team members saying, I didn't get that message, I didn't hear that. So it's interesting. And then using the digital world has come along leaps and bounds. The attitude part, which I wanted to touch on, it takes a crisis to see the best, and I could give hundreds of examples of how great the team have been and how they've really stepped up and been really brilliant. The attitude's been great. But I can also give a couple of crazy examples. And here's two that I'll throw out there. One I couldn't even imagine until I seen it happening. Furlough jealousy. We had team members who were coming to work because they had an important role and their colleague was furloughed. And the team member coming to work started to get a little bit peeved off that they were working, but their colleague was in furlough. And we called that furlough jealousy. And that was actually an actual thing that we had to figure ways around that. And then we had people who were enjoying the furlough too much. And when we were in a position to be able to bring them back to work safely and then told them so, they were like, well, wait a minute, I think I need to stay on furlough. I think the government wants me to stay on furlough. And it was an interesting one. So the last comments then for me is on the mental health. It became a huge area of concern. Not just for the people working from home. I think they suffered more on the mental health because of the isolation, the loneliness and the disconnected. But also there was a lot of anxiety for the team members coming on site. So the mental health area became a huge area of concern and was throughout that. As I said a few moments ago, we were quite fortunate. We had developed a mental health program working with HeadTorch and some other partners where we had taken all of our team members through some form of mental health awareness training. We had developed 25 of our team members to be mental health first aiders, not experts in psychiatrists or psychoanalysts, but really just to help signpost and recognize when there may be issues. And then we've had other programs. During the lockdown and not able to meet face to face, we developed digital and online updates and refreshers using HeadTorch as well. So it was really good to keep that mental health message going and continually asking our team, are they okay? Are there issues they need to talk to us about? And those self-help programs, they are online, they've remained online, and they're being used by our team members. And we've always said that if any of this, all of this effort helps just one team member, it's been worth it. So those are the areas I wanted to leave you with in terms of the people side. It was about the communication and the multiple forms it can take. the surprise and attitude, the very positive attitudes, but also the surprising negative ones, and then that very important message about mental health and how to make sure we're doing it. So if we bring up the question that I'd like people to take away and think about, please, Emmy. So I've just talked about some of the challenges that we had found within our business, and many of you may have a business where you're all office-based or you're all shop floor-based or something different. But my question is, what have you found to be the biggest people challenge during this pandemic for your particular business? And therefore, what have you done or will you do about it going forward? Thank you, Emmy.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Absolutely brilliant. Lots of food for thought there. I particularly liked earlier on when you were talking about thinking about what is in your sphere of influence. So important, isn't it, to remind ourselves of that rather than taking ourselves into into an unhelpful zone because we're feeling out of control, but rather fix on what you can control. And it sounds like you've done a tremendous job there at Volvo. So folks, we're going to go into breakout rooms shortly. So please, for the purposes of your discussion, do put your camera on, do put your sound on so you can get the most out of it. Do write down these questions and or take a photograph of the slide now so you have the questions in front of you. Great. Excellent. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you've all had an interesting, thought-provoking discussion. We certainly did in our breakout room. So it's now over to you. It would be lovely to hear from all of you. Well, we probably won't have time for all of you, but from some of you, any particular points that came up in your discussion that you think would be helpful you'd like to share with Paul and the rest of us here, and or ask him a question. If you want to say something, please use the hands up emoji, which is at the top there. And so we'll just call you in that way. Adrian, lovely. If you'd like to tell us, Adrian, where it is you work, and then tell us.
Okay, I'm with a recruitment company called Escape, which works in the engineering sector primarily. We had a very interesting chat in our group. I felt broadly similar personal challenges as well as organisational challenges. But there was a cracking question asked at the end by Craig Grant from Danfoss, and we didn't get to answer it, which was, was there a difference between the first lockdown and the second lockdown in people's reactions? And I thought, I didn't really think of that question before. I thought, that's a beauty, because I think there probably was. For my case, if I think back, anger was what I probably saw in the second lockdown. And in the first lockdown, it was more confusion. But once the waters had calmed, there was a sort of, okay, I'll just take this on the chin. And crack on. But anyway, so I thought I would maybe just bring that to the floor, see if anyone's got any other thoughts on that.
Thanks, Adrian. Paul, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a great point. I do, certainly in society, I think there was quite a bit of anger about the second lockdown. But from our own experience in the facility here, I would say there was more nervousness, because If I think back correctly, the second lockdown was the Kent variant, and it had been publicised as being more aggressive and more infectious and more serious. And the team were far more concerned about coming back to work in an environment where there was a new variant, which was apparently more serious and more aggressive. So there was more anxiety in the second lockdown than there was in the first. That's what, from within this business unit, that's what we definitely saw.
And was there anything different that you put in place at that second time, Paul?
No, we just continue to reinforce the protocols. And you know, Carnan is on here, and the team are always reviewing these, you know, the one-way systems, the protocols. And we take a lot of feedback from the unions and from the team members. So we just kept refreshing them, looking at them, making the adjustments and the improvements that were requested, and we kept going. By the time of the second lockdown, we were back at full working. You know, everyone that had to be on site was back on site. So, we managed to get through it. But, yeah, it's been a similar feeling on the second wave.
Great, yes. And what we're hearing there is refresh and improve. So it's that continual change and adapting, isn't it? Being really flexible in order to enable people to feel more confident to be at work. Thanks, Paul. Kathleen?
I think that was just a really interesting point, and it links back to me for what Paul was saying about communication. What
Hello, I Kathleen, do you want to just say where it is you work?
Sorry, yes, hi, Kathleen. I'm not on mute either, am I? I'm not chatting. No,
you're not. We can't see you at the moment. If you want to put your camera on, you can.
Oh, my camera is on.
The camera is on, Amy.
Just me.
You're not missing much, Amy. It's fine. So, Kathleen, I'm a people development consultant. So, I work with coaches. I work coaching and leadership development, and work with different people around people development aspects. And I've done some work with HeadTorch in the past. And I think it's the communication bit to me that with the second lockdown, I saw a big change. People just really, the fatigue kicked in, the mood really dropped, I think. So I agree a bit with the anger aspect, but the mood level really dropped. And people just, communication was dying a lot. I think people were just, there was nothing more to talk about. So people were stopping talking. And even cameras weren't getting put on as much, with Zoom calls and so on as well, with the mood impact was quite significant. Just the weather as well has that impact anyway. So I think people recognising their mental health challenge was greater, I think, at that point too. But as spring came, I think we started getting out about a bit more.
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks, Kathleen. I think we noticed that as well. There was certainly initially in the first lockdown, there was a great rush, wasn't there, to have cups of tea with people on Zoom, and then we all got Zoomed out. Zoom fatigue set in, and it really was much harder work at the beginning of the year. But thanks for sharing that. Gemma, you've got your hand up there. So if you'd just like to say where it is you work, Gemma. And
We've got a property business in Dunblane. We sort of sell property and also do lettings management as well. We're a team of 9 of us, and I co-direct it with my husband. So totally agree with everything that Kathleen has just said in terms of the second lockdown and what I saw in our team. I think for me personally, I was so much happier just because the single thing that my children were far less evil, I would say, in that lockdown than in the first one. And we had a really good system where I kind of demanded as little as possible, but in a concerted space of time from the children. So it was basically, we homeschooled first thing, couple of hours, that's you done, disappear, do what you want, come back when you want your food sort of thing, you know, be as safe as you can. And it worked great. And what I did see, completely agree with your team, with what you say about your team, is they were just unhappy. So we're now in a position where most of them are still working remotely. The lettings ladies are still remote. The sales ladies have mostly gone back in, and it's kind of countering the guidance. It's really tricky because, yes, we can work from home where possible, but a lot of the day it's not possible because it's just so much time wasting. In terms of, who's done that? Yes, who's done this? Let's just check on the WhatsApp, on the email. Who's checked with this? Who's phoned this person back? It's so inefficient. So we're now at a point where everybody wants to come back just to get on with things again. So I'd be interested to ask, how do people cope with that now? Has everybody kind of gone back to normal with caveats in place? We have tiny offices. We can't keep 2 metres distance from people. We have screens. We have sanitisers. We have masks. Will they wear them all day? Probably not. I do, because I'm a bit anal like that, but they don't like it. And
thanks,
I get that. What do you
thanks,
do?
Yeah. Paul, do you want to put your penny's worth in there?
Yeah, I'll start that. We have tried to work within the guidelines from local health authority and Scottish Government, and that's very important. And we work in close concert with our union colleagues as well. So as far as we're concerned, the guides are, you should still be working from home if you can work from home. And we're very careful because some people have to come back to work. Some of our engineers, the equipment they use, they cannot use a laptop at home to design a truck. They have to come in and use the higher power computers, the CAD stations, etc. So that's one example. And then we've had some people, for their own mental health, or they're just getting, I've heard a few people use the word fatigue. They're now so fatigued from sitting at their dining table working on their laptop, they have actually reached out and said, can I come back? And although it goes against the ScotGov guidelines, we are supporting that. We've not had a flood of people, but We were hoping that come the end of June, which was the original level zero positioning, that we would start to do the phased return to office working. Then it's gone back now and it's looking more like 9th of August. Hopefully that does kick in and we will be looking to welcome more people back. But it's, I think the key thing, and I've written it down, is we're definitely sensing the fatigue level. People are now reaching that point where they've kind of had enough and they are looking forward to getting back to. Now, we've asked our team members and a lot of them want to continue to work from home 2 days or 3 days a week, come into the office 1 or 2 days. What I will say, that's not our company position. Volvo are basically saying to be creative, to be very cross-functional, to take on the challenges that we need to take on going forward, sustainability, science-based targets, all of that. We are better as a team working together face-to-face, working in the same rooms. So the company are going to be promoting getting back to work as the preferred position, but they do recognise some things can still be done from home. So it's going to be interesting going forward, but we're looking forward to the clear message from the health authorities and government to say it's now okay to start the phased return to working, normal working, and then we'll be looking at that in great detail.
Thanks, Paul. Jill Arnott, I wondered, would you mind sharing a little bit of what you shared in our breakout group about your safe return to work group? Because that was really interesting.
So we created,
as everything else is, but you know.
That's okay. So we created a safe return to work group within the company.
I just want to share with everyone where it is you work, Jill.
Sorry, I work for our Biopharm Roan, a science-based company in Glasgow. So we had a few people working in the building from the start. We also had some working from home and a couple furloughed. And we created a safe return to work group to help bring everybody safely back into the company when they were ready to come in or when restrictions lapsed and we were able to bring them back in. And the safe return to work group, so if one of the departments are looking to bring somebody back, they'll message safe return to work group, who'll consider it, take into all the safety aspects into consideration, and they'll email the whole company about the decision and let everybody know who's wanting to come back and give them the option to comment on it. So the whole company were always aware of it.
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, really effective way to engage both the individual coming back and how it then affects the rest of the organisation, the system as a whole, so that everybody has a say in how somebody is brought back in. I'm just aware of time. Malcolm, I can see your hand is up. If you've got something to say in just 20 seconds, that would be lovely.
Well, just very briefly, I work for what's now Forestry and Land Scotland, used to be Forestry Commission. The point I wanted to make was about the blended working, and I'm interested to a union rep. I'm a senior union rep in the organisation, and they worked extremely well with us to get things sorted. But I'm very interested to know what people think about this blended working, because I take Paul's comment about creativity, working people working together, but I think there's a lot of it has not necessarily been considered in terms of gender priorities and the ability to work within in different circumstances, particularly with women taking the predominance of domestic work at home. So I'd be interested in thoughts on that.
Any thoughts on that?
I have some thoughts on that. Adrian, again, is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Adrian.
Well, certainly from my colleagues who work in the permanent or professional side of the business, I think the opportunity to work from home for part of the week will become a differentiator in terms of hiring. That's what I'm hearing. I take your point very much that you made. There's a very interesting article on that in The Guardian just a couple of days ago. If you can locate it, how if the primary childcare is working from home and doing two things. Does that preclude them from promotion? Does it challenge, you know, salary increases and so on? So that there's actually quite a lot of thought already around that. But from a recruitment perspective, it would appear that it's becoming a bit of a differentiator, let's put it that way. And whilst there have been no firm lines in the sand on that, it's going to be certainly interesting for us to monitor that as a recruitment business, because it's seen as a significant value add to people way beyond money, actually. Anyway.
Great. Thanks for that, Adrian. Really helpful, and certainly look into that article that you mentioned in The Guardian. So thank you very much, everyone. Over to you, Angus.
Yeah. So, Paul, thank you so much for doing this. We really, really appreciate your time. It's always very interesting working with you. It's very insightful. One of the big things, we have been very, very impressed with Volvo and their commitment to mental health. This goes a way back now. And that's your commitment through the pandemic, through the communication, through the constant messaging, through the programs and so on. That's really, really clear that you walk the talk. That is very impressive for an organization, any organization. So thank you for your time today. We do appreciate that. The next First Thursday is in September at the same time. We're missing August. And we have Jatinder Thakkar, who is CEO of Homes for Lambeth. And they've achieved an IIP Gold Awards. And one of Jatinder's mottos is, if you see it, say it. Don't let things fester. So it promises to be quite an interesting one, and it could also be quite a laugh. She's got a great sense of humour. Please keep an eye on LinkedIn. We do post events there, follow us there, and get in touch with us as well if you want to find more about HeadTorch. As Amy said, we work with all sorts of organisations at all levels of organisations, and you can contact us on our website through the contact page there. This will become a podcast, so if you want to download it, again, you can do that on our website. And I think if there's nothing else, we are finished. Yeah, so great to see everybody here. Thank you very much for coming along. And we look forward to seeing you at the next ones.
Thank you very much, everyone.